The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, after a sold-out run, impressionist and comedian Conor Moore has announced an additional night of comedy at the Three Olympia in Dublin on the 14th of May. And Conor is here. Hello.
Claire, how are you?
I'm great.
Great
it's
to finally
so
meet.
It's so nice. I've been looking at your stuff for years on online. In fact, I was looking at it last week and over the last few days, and the one clip that I loved was Catherine Connolly in the suit and the keepy uppies.
Oh yeah, no, I just reposted it. Well, I'm delighted at the players, the team, best of luck. Very disappointed I wasn't picked.
And then she goes into this routine where she's doing, and because I'm so into it and I believe it's her, and then I see her doing this, you know, with the ball. It's just, I love it.
I love the Preds. They're my favourite boots. They're like a collector's item. I actually have them like in a case.
Right.
But I took them out, gave them to Catherine.
Bring them out for that, Catherine. You know, listen, the career is just, it's phenomenal. And I don't know whether I'm like buying into the dream that I see on Instagram, but it just looks like it has taken off for you like a rocket over the last few years.
In a sense, it has. I suppose I've gone into so many different sports. I get itchy feet. So as soon as I've done something for a while, I started off with the GA, loved it. But people used to say, like, make hay while the sun shines. And when I went to college, actually, I went in 2008, DCU, did business finance. And all they taught back then was risk management and mm-hmm. diversification, because everybody, like, you know, what happened back then. And so when I was doing my thing, I was like, yeah, I've got to diversify this. I got to get into other sports. Like, so literally, I just do the sports that I like. So like, I love golf, love soccer, love obviously the GAA stuff. So, and then Irish politics and stuff. So I just kind of do that. And then it doesn't feel like work to me then.
Yes.
F1 then was one that I kind of jumped in on. After Drive to Survive, I wasn't really into F1.
But you are now.
Oh, I love it. Like, I'm addicted.
But also those sports like golf and Formula One, they kind of took you in, didn't they? Like, they didn't see you as somebody who was a threatening force and annoying them and irritating. They kind of went, we'll bring you in here. We want to see what you're doing. We'll smile along with the impersonations, which is a nice relationship to have with those sports.
Yeah. I think when you're starting off, it's harder as it goes on, because the content has to, you got to keep the standard up, and the content has to be funnier and funnier to stay relevant. While at the start, people just focus on the impression.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really have to even say much. So everybody, like, at the start of it just, well, I hope they all still love it. Like, but at the start, it's all just very playful fun and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And the F1, golf, yeah, it's weird. As soon as I started doing them, I think because I was the first to do it, that I kind of, you know, you get in your...
Like, oh, who is this guy? And they start becoming interested in it.
Mm.
When did you find out that you were good at doing impressions? How did that happen?
Oh, well, when I was a kid, my mum and them used to make me do Pat Short all the time. So we used to watch The Unbelievables and I would recreate their stuff. And then my dad watched, he brought home the Après Match tape from Live at the Olympia.
Yeah.
And watched that, and I could see him laughing at it. So then I just started, like, he'd come home and I'd be like doing Dunphy. I'd be like, you know, I was here tonight. What do you think of that? It was great. You know, that's it, baby. You know, he'd come home with a snack box or something after being at the pub. And I'd be like, there's a chip there, Tom. Yeah, great. You know, and I'd just do this. And then all of a sudden I started like taking a mick out of like managers that I had, my uncle down in my club. And then, yeah, I didn't do it for like 10 years, maybe more, 15 mm-hmm. years. And then just did a video one day of a bit of a row in a GA match, and the yoke just went viral. That
so
was
you posted that publicly online, did you? That video?
Yeah, well, I didn't. I didn't actually have the minerals, as they'd call it. I gave it, the lads were like, you got to put that up. So I gave it to Dennis Caroon, who's a good friend of mine, and he put it up. And it was just like, Mourinho was talking about this fight. It was an incredible fight. I thought it was, some of the punches were incredible. I had David Beckham in there. You know, myself and Victoria, we left. You know, it was disgraceful, really, you know. So we left and put this video out anyway, and I got these views. Next, I don't know, a couple of days later, I quit my job. I was like, I'm just going to make videos.
You quit your job?
Mm, well, Joe.ie rang me up and were like, oh, you're very good at this. Let's chat. So I went up thinking, I've definitely got this job. So in my head, I'd already quit. And then the lads were like... Show us your stuff.
Connor, you never do that.
I know, yeah.
I'm worried for you.
So the lads were like, show us your stuff. And I was like, that's what you have in your hand there. That's my
it.
Stuff. Like, that's it. But I can do more if you want. And they gave me a week to come back with more stuff. Came back with more stuff. They were like, nah. But then 4 months later, about a day or two after that, I quit my job. And then about 4 months later, I said, I'll give it 6 months. Went on the rock and roll. said, right, go on, I'll give it 6 months, just make some videos.
Brave.
And yeah, would it, 4 months later then, Joe.ie called me back up. Paddy McKenna was like, yeah, I have a job for you here if you want. I did Klopp. So Klopp was getting big.
Yeah.
And Man United were on the slide a little bit. So I did a video like, oh, did you see United? They were so bad. This video anyway, Jamie Carragher retweets it. And I think when that happened, then Joe were like, oh, this fella's getting a bit of, you know, he could do some stuff for us. And then I worked with them for like a year and a half. And that was brilliant because I learned a lot in there and about making content and stuff. And I worked with a great fella that was making videos, Gary Carroll. So all that just helped then. And then I, again, like I get itchy feet. And I was like, right, I want to go out on my own now and do my own kind of thing. And I went and did the golf. And then the golf was just
from there.
Crazy. Yeah,
then
just
you
into
end
America.
Up making ads with Roy Keane for Sky. I just watched that one this morning as well, where you're in his trailer.
Yeah.
The voice note one. When you then go from like doing the impersonations on your own in your house, coming up with the material, to meeting these people, is that just weird, plain weird?
Yeah, it can be. And it depends where you meet them. Like, I remember, like, the first big ad I got was with Tiger Woods. And I walk into the room and, like, you don't, what do I even call? I was even Googling his name at the, before I went in. I was that nervous.
Mr. Lord Tiger.
And, yeah, like, his name is Eldrick Tiger Woods. Tiger is, like, his middle name or nickname or whatever. And I walk in and I'm like, I was nearly about to call him Eldrick. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, and then I was like, how are you, Tiger? What's the crack? He's like, hey, buddy, nah, great to meet you. Do me. And I'm like,
what? He said, do me like, to yeah, your face straight away.
Do me. I want to hear it, dude. Everyone's always sending me this stuff. So I was like, oh man, the conditions are really tough out there. And I thought I played well. He's like, God, man, you sound just like me. Oh, so good.
This is so weird. I don't sound really uncomfortable. Was that uncomfortable?
No, not at all. He was brilliant. Like he actually was, it was so, I thought he'd come in with a big entourage. I brought my brother and my cousin. I told him, I was like, oh, I have my manager and my agent here. And I just brought the two boys with me. And he like had known it, or he was actually very, and Keane was the same, like very relaxed. Like he loves a sneer, loves a, like when we did that last ad actually at the end of it, then he's like, so what's this, what are you at now? And I was like, yeah, I'm touring now. Oh, are you down in Cork? I was like, yeah, I might go to one of your gigs. Yeah. And like everyone says that, right? So about 3 or 4 days out from the gig, then I get this email, Roy Keane, what's the story? Might go to your gig on Friday. Any chance to get 4 tickets? I was like, oh, geez, brilliant. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it's sold out. And he's like, oh, excellent, congratulations. Yeah, where'll I pick up the tickets? I know. So he came
took
on the Friday.
Out four of them and put me in. He came, did he?
He came, yeah, him and a couple of his mates. But it was funny, they were sitting in the upper deck or whatever, just to my right. But it was funny, anytime I did, I was like, all right, yeah, you big baby. I do him. There was a delayed reaction from the audience. Instead of laughing, they'd look at him to see if he was laughing.
Right, permission to laugh.
Yeah. All you hear is...
did it affect what you were doing, like knowing that he was there? Or are you okay with that now?
Yeah, not really. You think you're like before you think about it a lot before you're like, this better go well. Because you obviously someone you really admire, you want to make sure like you do a good job in front of them. But then when you're out there, there's just so much lines and stuff you have to think of. Your head is just completely, you forget, you know, and the lights are on you. You can't even see who's in the audience.
Yeah, you see, you don't see his face while you're doing an impression.
Oh, no,
of him,
no, no. I could kind of hear his laugh a few times. That would put me off. You kind of, do you know that laugh? If you watch the overlap. It's just this kind of like,
and you could hear it in the audience. This is why I think that moment with Tiger Woods must have been, I feel it was uncomfortable. You obviously felt it was grand, but to have him standing in front of you saying, do me.
Oh no, yeah, like I would have been nervous now. Yeah, I just mean, I suppose the whole day was like really enjoyable with him, but definitely like put on the spot like that. Mm-hmm. And you're like just hoping, just laugh, like just please laugh.
And then when you're developing a new character or somebody comes into the frame, you go, right, I better try and master this. Like, are you at home in your house just walking around trying to, how does it work? What's
the
process?
Oh, yeah. No, my, like, just ask my wife. Like, she just is like, this is, I'd be doing trouble. Like, at the minute, like, kind of changing my trump up, I'm like, you know what? It's a great day, right? Oh, I love you so much. I love you a lot, right? Every, nobody knows, nobody loves you more than me, right? She's like, shut up, please.
I'm done with Donald Trump, she says.
Yeah, you'd be going around the house doing so many different people or whatever. And it's sometimes people come really quick to you. Like Harrington, Padraig Harrington came really quick, I suppose. In a sense, although like someone's done them before you, like Mario would have done them.
Yeah.
You already kind of have a bit like that, even from just, I would have like listened to Mario a lot and watched a lot of his stuff. So you would have like my Mourinho, my Harrington, some of those characters would have been kind of like germinated from him. And but I remember when I was doing, people were asking me about doing Jerry Hutch, and I did like Jerry at around the election time last year, and they were like, how'd you nail that one? I was like, ah, Jerry, like poor Harrington and Jerry. I was like, I already had him. I was like, he's Padraig Harrington with a few slight changes, you know. I was like, you know, Harrington's kind of middle Dublin, sort of like that, you know, and you just make it more north side Dublin, you know, with your D's and D's and that, you know, and then you slow it down a little bit, sort of like that, and then you bring the tone down and all of a sudden you're Jerry. All right, Claire, what's the story with you? Feel like
that's
a dying
amazing.
Wasp.
So you start with Porrick and you morph into Jerry and it's a little continuation in your mind, although to us it sounds like two completely different characters. There's a morphing in your head.
It happened to me like with a golfer one time. I was trying to get Justin Rose, who's a famous English golfer, and Rosie kind of talks like that, you know.
I love when I see you doing him because I know very little about Justin Rose other than he has been around for my whole adult life and he still feels like the youngest golfer on the tour.
Honestly, that's what I do. If you actually taking a mic of it at the minute. I met him last week, would you believe, in Florida. And I was just telling him this. When I was trying to get him, I couldn't get him. Sometimes you're like, you're trying to get someone. And then I was up making a video for the World Cup in 2018 or something, I think it was. And England were in. And I was doing Roy Hodgson. And my brother walked by the door. And I was like, you know, he's great. You know, I thought we were very good out there today. I thought it was a very, very difficult game, you know. And my brother goes, are you doing Justin Rose? And I took it as an insult. I was like, what? No, I'm not. I'm doing Roy Hodgson. I was like, you don't think that sounded like Roy Hodgson? And I was focused on that for 5 minutes. And then I went, wait a minute. Maybe that's it. I made my Justin Rose from Roy Hodgson. And literally about 9 months later, when I was doing the ad with Tiger, he was like, oh, dude, my favorite one is Justin Rose. I mean, you do Rosie so good. And I couldn't do him until like it was said to me, oh, no, your Roy Hodgson sounds like that. And so then you kind of start there and move it to there.
But there's the impression, but there's also creating a bit of a character for him with the script that you're using as well. That's a different skill, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And that's the best one is where you can, it's like when I did Gerlach Nan in the GAA, I realized like, my Gerlach Nan was like nothing like Gerlach Nan in the sense he was the kind of hardy, the shoulders up like this. Do you know what I mean? And he was straight to the point, Cleo. Right? Absolutely. Do I think Ireland will win tonight? Absolutely. We're going to do it, right? But the character took on a life of its own. So then as I was explaining to someone one day, I remember in joe.ie, I was like, they were like, what? Like, how do you come up with the stuff for Loch Nan? And I'm like, I just know people want to see him do mad things.
Mm.
So like I went on holidays and I would do like crazy stuff in New York. I went to Thailand. I would just put Jer in like the maddest situations ever. Like, and it would, you know, it's not Gerlach Nan, it's just my character. So they just wanted to see him and what, because he's an older guy. He's a hurling man. He's like, you know, that type of like
tough
rural Irish guy. Yeah. And all of a sudden you put him in a city and it's like, what would happen in the madness of him in a city? And just like, I don't know, the dichotomy of it all or something. It's just, and that's where the characters, yeah.
And you posted that clip of him saying that you didn't think your impression was great. No, I know that's not getting me at all. Yeah, he is. He's there with that one.
Yeah, and it is all like the character. Some people will come up to you and be like, even Poulter, like I remember Poulter going, oh, I was listening to Martin, and I was like, he doesn't sound like me. But then I listened to Tiger and Tommy and I'm like, he's nailed them. And all the comments are about me. And I'm like, what is going on? But again, he's another one that like, it's a character or a caricature of them. Mm. Some of them are real good. Like when I'm doing the golf gigs, I start with Poulter because he's like so funny. And then I'll do Tiger. It's not as funny, but the impression's really good. So people kind of go from laughing in the first one and the second one, they go, oh, you kind of hear kind of like, oh, wow, you know, that kind of thing. So there's always different ones, but I prefer getting the caricatures because they're funnier.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, a great impression, like doing a voice is all well and good, like, but like actually it's about it being funny, really.
It's about what the character is saying.
Exactly.
Isn't it? I think with Davey, like I feel the impression of Davey Fitzgerald comes really easy to you, but it's what you do with it that has the tears rolling down my face. I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say too much on that, Claire. You know, that's your own business. Like, if you want to cry about it, you can cry about it, you know. I'm not going to get into it with you anyway, you know. You've said enough about me down through the years anyway, so we leave it there.
I think we've all said enough, haven't we? I am actually crying now. I don't know what it is about Davey Fitzgerald's impression. It just gets me every time. Now, the show. Tell me about the show. I'm not quite crying. Tell me about the show. 14th of May, extra date.
An extra date in the Olympia. I just love doing it at the Olympia. I think one of just the best venues. It's like nice and the atmosphere is so great in there. And I'm like, it's a mad show. It's crazy. A lot of people come to it. I got a lot of ladies will come up to me after it and they're like, I was dragged here by my husband or boyfriend. They're like, oh my God, I just enjoyed the show so much. I thought it was going to be like all sports or whatever. And it's not. So it's like, Tommy Tiernan starts the show off. You know, Tommy, you know, we do a bit of interviewing, do a lot of things now. My phone is ringing there, better not be so. But Tommy, then we go into Patrick Healy on the Late Late Show, of course, you know yourself. Then we've got the Sunday game. We've got Gerlach Nan talking about the rules. We've got, of course, we got Trump, right? Yeah, we got to do a big show. It's great. It's great to be here on Fake News Talk. I love it. It's great, right? Your ratings are going to go through the roof, Claire. They're going to go through the roof.
I hope they do, Connor. Thanks so much. The show is on the 14th of May in the Olympia. Me, Myself and Them, it's called. Yeah. And it was great to meet you and them, all the other people great as well. To meet you. We'll take a break. I have to clean my mascara is running down my face now. But David Fitzgerald, thanks, Connor.
Cheers. Thanks. See you.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.